Okay, let's begin. Parshas Nitzavim, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Parshas Nitzavim is always the parsha that precedes Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar says the word Hayoim. Hayoim is a code word for Hayoim Da Rosh Hashanah. Every time it says in Tanakh the word Vayihi Hayoim, it means it is the day Vehei Hayidiyah. There's one Hayoim Haras. Olam, there is one day of the year, the Yoim Hadin. Kol Bnei Olam Oyim Lefan. Kol Bnei. Everyone in the world passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Maroin. It's the Yoim, the Hei Hayidiyah, the Yoim of Din. The Din is not just for Klal Yisrael, the Din is for the entire world. I just want to make a ha'ara. A lot of things I have today are just ha'aras. We have here a very unusual word, the word Nitzavim. We know, the Mepharshim, they actually asked this question, why did the Torah choose the word Nitzavim in contrast to the word Oimdim? Atem Oimdim Hayom Kulchem. Why could it not say you are standing today? The word Nitzavim is a word that's similar to the word standing. So I want to suggest a little bit of a drush. It's not a complete idea, but it's something to think about. We know that there's a difference between human beings and malachim. The pasuk says, "Nasati l'cha mahalchem beino oimdim o'ela." A human being is a mahalach. A human being has a maila that a malach does not have. Mobility. A human being can go from one madrigo to another madrigo. As we learned today in Kehelas, a person comes into this world, he has no merits. And the goal is, it's a game. It's a monopoly game. The game is to go around the board in this world and accumulate zuchuyos, accumulate merits to take with you to the next world. A malach, and don't go to jail. That's the most important thing, okay? The goal is to accumulate merits. Malachim do not have this opportunity. Malachim are oimdim. Malachim are created, they're fixed into a given status, whether they are from the Oifanim, the Chayas HaKodesh, they are from whatever sphere they find themselves in, they do not have this blessing of mobility. A human being has the maila, being able to go from one madrega to another madrega. And that's what the pasuk says, "Nasati l'cha," I will give you, so I think pasuk in Zechariah, if I'm not mistaken, "Nasati l'mahalchim," I'll give you an ability to travel, to be mobile, bein among the malachim, bein ha'imdim, amongst the malachim, which are fixed in a given spot. Now, there's another word for standing. Now, but on the other hand, we have to also recognize that malachim have a very great advantage that we do not have. Because malachim, the fact that they're locked in means they can't fall. They don't have the danger of going down. We human beings, even if we rise, we have a danger of going all the way down, doing averos and descending into the Sha'ol Rachman Litzlan into Gehenim. The malachim don't have that potential because malachim are fixed in their position. So on the one hand, we have one thing over the malachim. We have the ability, mobility, to travel higher and higher. But the malachim have a mile that we do not have. The malachim are in a fixed position. They do not have the danger of falling and going down. What does it mean, Nitzavim? What? Malachim, that's what I said. That's the mila that human beings have over the malachim. We have mobility to go higher. We have that mila, and the malachim do not have that mila. But malachim have a mila that we do not have, is they have nothing to worry about. They don't have the potential to fall. What is the word nitzavim? So I would like to suggest, it's not really likely what I'm saying is emes, but it's just something to think about. I want to throw out an idea. The word nitzavim is the combination, is a word which captures the milos of both. Of being a mahalech and an oimet. Why do I say that? Because you look in Rashi. Rashi has many pirushim of what it means atem nitzavim. But Rashi, when he goes into the medrash approach, he says davar acher l'fi shohoyu Yisrael yoytzim miparnes leparnes. At this point in time, Klal Yisrael was a transitional period. They were going from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua. They were transitioning. Mi parnes le parnes, mi Moshe li Yehoshua, lefichu therefore, osa oisa matseva. He had them stand. Kidei lizarzam, in order to encourage them, to warn them, to prepare them to make for this transition. V'chinasa Yehoshua, v'chin Shmuel, hisyatsu, stand still. V'yishofeto eschem, and I will judge you. Kishayatsu miyado v'nichnas liyado shol shol, when they go into the of shol. Rashi is telling us over here that there's a transition. There's a transition taking place. The transition is, you're going now from the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu to the leadership of Yeshua. That in many, now we simply, is that's a Yerida. You're going from Moshe Rabbeinu was Kvnei HaChama to Yeshua that was Kvnei HaLevana. But yet in another respect, it was a very great mile because now they're going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was getting off the train. I'm not going with you into Eretz, you're going to a new higher Madrega. You're going into the land, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You're moving. There is transition taking place. But yet, you are nitzavim. You're standing. You're not falling. I'm being mezarez you. I am encouraging you. I am giving you the tools that you need to guarantee you don't make any mistakes and fall and go to a lower madrega. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the word nitzavim is the word which captures the advantages of both moving, of mahalchim, being a mahalich, and the advantage of a malach that is in oimed. Normally we have, I will give you a mahalch, a malach is in oimed, a human being is a mahalich. A human being has an advantage that a malach does not have, and a malach has an advantage that a human being does not have. What is the advantage of a human being? Transition, to move, mobility, to move. What is the advantage that a malach has that a human being does not have? A malach is in oimed. He's not going to fall, he's not going to suffer, he is mezuris, he is strong, he is positioned, he's fortified, he's not going anywhere. He has stability. Look what's happening over here. According to Rashi, Klal Yisrael is on the move. They are transitioning from one tekufa to another tekufa. They're going from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael. They're making Aliyah. They're reaching their Shleimus. There's mobility. But with mobility comes the danger of sinking. Going down into a makom with potential for averos. Nitzavim, you're standing firm. You're standing firm, you're not going to sink. I will be mezarez you. I will encourage you. I will teach you and give you the tools you need in order to make sure that nothing happens to you. So it's a very powerful lesson. This is what I want to suggest, that this one word captures the milus of both. And that is the hakdama to the Yemei Hadin. When we come into Rosh Hashanah, what is happening on this Shabbos? This Shabbos is the beginning of the transition period. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, Parshas, Nitzavim, we stand, everyone has on their mind, Rosh Hashanah, we are transitioning from last year into the coming year. It's a different mazel. It's a different tekufa in our lives. It's a different tekufa in the history of Klal Yisrael. There's a transition period. We're moving forward. We are on mahalech. We're traveling. But we also are being mechazik ourselves with tshuva and maisim tovim and all of the hachonis that are part of the Yemei Hadin and Yemei Haslichos to be together and oimed like a malach. That we should stand firm and mezuris and take the advantages that the malachim have to offer and bring that into us as well. We come into the Yemei Hadin with the milos of a mahalech and an oimed, and this is all captured in this unique expression of nitzavim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a short idea. I came across this, I don't even remember where I saw this. We have here that Hashem tells us, gives us choices. He gives us choices of chayim and moves. Let me find the pasuk. It's a little bit later on in Paraglamet pasuk. Tezav re'ei nasati l'fanecha yom es chayim v'yes hatoiv v'yes hamoves v'yes hara. The pasuk very clearly equates life with good and death with ra. If it would not have really even been necessary, the pasuk would have said, "I've given today toiv es hatoiv yes hara." And uvacharto batoiv. The pasuk will go on to say. So the pasuk is uvacharto b'chayim, but the pasuk could have said, "You shall choose." If you sow, well, here it doesn't say the actually to choose. That's a different section. But re'ei nasati l'fanecha hayom es hachayim v'es hatoiv es hamoves v'es hara shenuch mitzav hayom lahav Hashem lokech lachas bedrachav. Okay, then it goes on v'choyisa v'ravisa. Okay, let me just maybe he does say it over here. Here, no, here, I'm sorry, you're right. Ha'idaisi vochem hayom es hashvayim v'yesaretz hachayim v'hamaves nasati lefanecha habracha v'hakala uvacharta b'chayim l'mantich ya'ato v'zarechas. I saw in a sefer, he says something very interesting. He says that to go from good to bad, according to what the pasuk says, is going from life to death. Being that the pasuk equates toiv with chayim and ra with mavis, if we go from toiv to ra, we can substitute. We're going from chayim to mavis. That's natural. No one lives forever. It's just a matter of time. So it's going from chayim to mavis. But when we go from ra to toiv, what? Well, I understand. Who? It was Shuv and Levi? I don't understand. Okay, but generally, but when you go from Ra to Toiv, what does that mean, going from Ra to Toiv? You're going from Moves to Chayim. Moves to Chayim is Techias HaNesen. That's not natural. That's not natural. That's something which is Lamalam Derech HaTeva. If the pasuk would not equate Toiv with Chayim and Mavis with Ra, so then we would say, listen, this is a natural thing, it's biodenus within our power to do so. But being the pasuk goes out of its way to say that Toiv is Chayim and Ra is Mavis, and the Torah is telling us that we shall choose Chayim, and the pasuk also here in the beginning of the parasha elaborates, this week we're learning about the mitzvah of tshuva, and the whole essence of tshuva is when a person finds himself in the state of Ra to go to Toiv, you're doing something which is l'mala miderech hateva. And Enoch Hanami, the fact the pasuk tells you v'charta v'chayim to do this teaches you that you do, the koyach of tshuva is a koyach that includes techiyas hanesim. And techiyas hanesim is something which is l'mala miderech hateva. That indeed is the avoda of Rosh Hashanah. And when we make the bracha on Rosh Hashanah, the bracha of Malchios, the nusach is umi doy melach. Part of the nusach of the Malch is Ki'ata, I'm sorry, the bracha of Shofars, Ki'ata Shamea Kol Shofar, Umazin Teruah, V'ein Doime Loch. Why do we use the expression V'ein Doime Loch? There's no one that's similar. The expression V'ein Doime Loch is only found in the bracha of Ata Gibor. Ata Gibor, Liyol Mashem Mechaim Yitav Lashia, Nechal Kav Chaim Bechesed, Mechaim Yitzim Rachamim, Vem Semech Lefnim, Vrafech Lebatiris, Mechaim Yitzim Lashnei Famichim, Vrachamim, Umi Doime Loch. The only place we find in the Nusach HaTfil the expression of Umi Doime Loch is in the area of Techias HaMesim. That is why, one of the reasons why we blow shofar, Rav Sadia Gaon says there are 10 reasons why we blow shofar. Among the reasons is Techias HaMesen, it's a reminder of Techias HaMesen, and it's also a reminder to wake up from our slumber. A person should do tshuva, should abandon, as the Rambam writes in the great detail, a person should abandon his evil deeds and should do tshuva, being the koyach to abandon Ra and do tshuva is a koyach of Techias HaMesen. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, we spent a lot of time yesterday learning about the tkiyas. So here's an idea I want to throw out. I don't know if this makes any sense. I'm probably off. We have some mathematicians here. I see all the mathematicians, their minds are all calculators are all turned on in your mind. You can make the calculations as I go on. We learned yesterday about how many sounds the trua, the shvarim, and the tkiyah needs. So we learn yesterday machlokes Rashi and Tosfos halacha lemaisa, we pass like Tosfos that tells us that a trua is 9 short sounds, and we have the Rishonim tell us that the tekiah that sandwiches the trua and the shvarim always must equal the amount of sounds that are in the center, the trua, the shvarim, or the shvarim trua. So let's just make it very, I'm not going to run through the numbers because it's too complicated for me, but I made this calculation very carefully yesterday, and I believe my calculation is correct, and if it's not correct, then you can challenge me. And my calculation, by the way, does not take into account a tekiah gedoyla. That I want to warn you. Okay, tekiah gedoyla, I'm not exactly sure what a tekiah gedoyla is in terms of sounds. Tekiah gedoyla appears to be a more modern in more, it's not really part of the original tekiyos. It's something which we have invented later in time, that the last tekiyah is longer than the other tekiyos, but it's, in fact, not everyone even does a tekiyah gedolah lishono. Some only do a tekiyah at the very, very end.
They don't say it.
In the art school, they have tekiyah gedolah three times. Right. At the end of each set. Each tekiyah gedolah, and each set. Okay, but some machzor, they only have a tekiyah gedolah at the very, very end. And some, they don't even do it. They blow 100 koilos, and then they blow a tekiyah gedolah, which is completely independent. So let's put aside for now the tekiyah gedolah. So let's just go through some of the numbers very quickly. We blow, in the beginning, we blow three different sets, for 30 koilos. Let's just for example, a tekiyah, truah tekiyah, a truah l'fik taisis, as is the halacha, are 9 koilos, and that means the tekiyah before is 9 and the tekiyah afterwards is 9. So in one set of tekiyah, truah tekiyah, how many sounds are there? 27. 9 times 3 is 27. Right? So far I'm good. Okay, now what about a tekiyah shvarim? The next one, tekiyah shvarim tekiyah, same exact thing. The shvarim is 9, 3, 3, 3. The shvarim is 3. So it's 3 times 3 is 9. And the tekiyah, the beginning and the end, is going to be also 9. Now what about, that's another 27. So 27 plus 27. Next, we have tekiyah shvarim truah tekiyah. What is a shvarim truah? 18. It's 18 because a true is 18 and a shvarim is 18. So that's 18, that is 9. A tekiyah is 9 and a shvarim is 9. That's 18. And now if the shvarim teruah is a sound that has 18 sounds, 18 moments, so that means we have to, the tekiyah in the beginning has to be a long tekiyah of 18, and at the end it has to be 18. So how long is, in terms of numbers, how long is the sound of a tekiyah shvarim through a tekiyah? 54. So what is 54 plus 27 plus 27? 108. We don't do it all in this order, but basically we're doing this, how many times we basically do this? You can just play around with it. We do it three times: tekiyah shvarim tekiyah, tekiyah shvarim tekiyah, tekiyah shvarim tekiyah, or we do it tekiyah shvarim tekiyah, tekiyah truah tekiyah, tekiyah shvarim truah. But basically, this is done 10 times. These three sets that I've just calculated for you, which equal 108, are done 10 times. We do it for the tekiyas demiyushev 3 times. We do it during Shmon Esrei another 3 times, that's 6. And then we do it 4 times after Musaf is over. So basically, to the Nusach HaTfilah, we're basically doing sets of 3, 10 times. 3 before Ashrei, 3 during Musaf, and 4, we do it 4 times at the very end, right before, by Kaddish to Skabel, either before or after. And basically, all the numbers, they all even out. They all even out. They're different in Hagim of how to break up the tekiyah to a tekiyah, tekiyah, shvarim, tekiyah, tekiyah, shvarim, to a tekiyah. But all evens out. What?
In sum total, it's the same.
It's all the same, all the time. So that basically means 108 multiplied by 10 is how much?
1080.
Right? Taxes. Right? What's tax form?
1040.
I'm sorry. There is another tax form, and there is a 1080 tax in Warsaw, by the way. Okay, there is a 1080 tax form. That's for special. It's special today, right now. Okay, so that's 1080. What is the significance of 1080? What is this? The number 1080 is an extremely significant number in Jewish thought. It is the number of seconds there are in halakim that there are in an hour. Okay, in an hour, in one shot, in 1 hour, there are exactly 1080. When they announce the moilid on Rosh Chodesh, they tell you it's going to be at this time, and this number of minutes, and this number of halakim. A chelik is basically 3 1/3 seconds. 3 1/3 seconds. Now, where does this number come from? Is this number in the Torah? Not really, no. The Rambam, Rambam uses this number, the Vilna Gaon uses this number. It's really, really rooted in the Gemara. When the Gemara talks about Kiddush HaChodesh, then the length, the Gemara mentions how many, the Gemara mentions parts, and then the parts, I don't have the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chof, I think it's Daf Chof Hey, Daf Chof Hey in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks about the exact, the amount of time of the lunar cycle, how long. So in the Gemara, it's basically mashma that there is a unit of time called a chelek. It makes it a lot easier when you use this concept of time called a chelek, which basically is the shortest halachic unit of time, which is 3 1/3 seconds. We use the seconds in American culture. Where does a second come from? Okay, many different. You go on Wikipedia, you can look up all of these things of where it comes from. But Chazal and the Rambam, Mishonim Kadmonios, this is a Jewish thing, this concept of a chelek. So that means that when we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, there are really two different numbers. There's the number 100. You only have to blow one set of koilos, three set of koilos. The minhag Yisrael is to blow 100 koilos, the number 100. Every sound is considered to be a tekiah. Tekiah is three. Tekiah, shvarim tekiah is three, and tekiah shvarim two is four. So that's 10. That we call 10. Every unit we call 1. But we also, when you break it down into its smallest parts, it comes out to, we're blowing on Rosh Hashanah 1,080 sounds, which is a number which represents the smallest unit of time. Okay, on the other hand, the number that we refer to with the Koilos is 100. 100, in one respect, represents Shlemus. Now, I know it's not the highest number in the Aleph base. There's the letter Tav. Or you can say there's the letter, that's the letter Tzadi. Tzadi Sefis represents the number 900. But the number 100 in Chazal is a very significant number which does represent Shlemus. The proof is, Umo Hashem Elokecha Shol Neimach. Al Tikri Mo Elameya. Chazal required us to make 100 brachas. Obviously, they want us to make the 100 brachas. That's a significant, that's shalem. You make 100 brachas, you are going to achieve a madrega of what Hashem wants from you to be a Yorei Shemaim. Rei Shischach Meiras Hashem. This is the goal. And if the way we're going to achieve Yira Shemayim, the Shlemus, is in making 100 brachas, obviously that says something to it, that the number 100 is a significant number of Shlemus. I'm sure there are more sources to bring out the idea that 100 represents Shlemus. I just don't at this moment know what they are. But what do we take out of this? When we blow shofar, we're trying to conquer the coil from the two extremes. Mitzad Echad, we blow 100 koilos. The number 100 means we do everything we possibly can do. We are mispalo, we are mevakesh to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ultimate shlemus. But we also acknowledge the protim. Ein bichlal elamashe beprat. 100 is sholem. It captures everything. But sometimes when you get carried away in the big picture, you lose focus on the details. I was having a discussion recently with certain Talmud Chacham. He was telling me that there's certain... It's very hard for Gedolim, very great people, they're extremely busy, to take care of, to cover the klal and the prat. You're busy doing klal work, you're working for organizations, and you're taking care of klal Yisrael, but you have people, you have talmidim, and they have very simple needs. They need very simple things. These are the individuals. So there is, and he told me that if a leader is not good with the prat, with the individual, there's no way he can possibly succeed with the klal. And even though it seems that people, they're very good in the klal, ultimately it's all going to come apart if you don't have the talent of dealing with the parts. Ein bichlal elema shebeprat. You have to be able to focus on the big picture, but you cannot lose focus on the details, on the hashkacha that go into the little things. That's really what we're doing when we blow shofar. We're taking two numbers. we focus only really on the number 100, but don't lose sight that there's another number in the shofar blowing. The number 1080. 1080 is the smallest unit of time in this world, at least in the eyes of halacha. Not a second, but a chelek. 3 1/3 seconds. It makes a lot of sense. It's very hard to capture a second. Think about it. You go, one. It's too quick. 3 1/3 seconds is something which is, it's tangible. 1, 2, 3. But yet, it's a fleeting moment of time. So this is just the idea I want to bring out is, you go into the Yom HaDin, you have your eye on the big picture, but don't forget about to be mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kol Shofar for the small little details in life. Those things count as well, are important as well. Now in this light, there's another idea. We know that in the laws of Safras, there's something called HaKofas Gevil, which means every letter, it's not enough to write a letter on a piece of parchment. Every letter, in order for it to be kosher, must have parchment surrounded on all four sides. For example, if you write a letter and the letter goes all the way to the edge of the parchment, on the, let's say on the bottom, you write a letter on the part and it goes all the way down to the very, very bottom, it's pasul. Why? It's not enough that there is a letter. There also must be some blank parchment underneath the letter and on all four sides of the letter. That's a requirement. So it comes out that every single letter has blank space. When we blow shofar, we blow different types of sounds. A tekiah, a shvarim, trua. But it's not just the sound. Let's say when you blow a trua. It's not just the sound you blow. There's also the blank space. The moment in time when there is no sound. That's also part of the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. Just like we have in the writing of a letter on a Sefer Torah, there has to be blank space around the letter. In sound, in order to bring out what the sound is, there also must be an empty sound before and after. When you blow a trua, there are 9 short sounds. The only reason why it's called a short sound is because before each one of the short sounds, it's quiet. And there's no sound. And perhaps it's for that reason that the mitzvah is, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not to blow, the mitzvah is to listen. The bracha we make is, Asher kadoshan b'mitzvah l'shmoya kol shofar. If the mitzvah was to blow, then the mitzvah would only be on the actual sounds you produce. I blow, true, I blow the 9 sounds. But there's no mitzvah on the quiet moments. When the mitzvah has been transformed from blowing to listening, when you listen to a trua, you're not just listening to a sound. You're listening to silence. You're listening to very short moments of silence in between the sounds. What do those moments of silence represent? Those moments of silence represent emuna. A year goes by. When every day we come to the news, go to the computer, you read the headlines, turn on the radio, you do whatever you do, and you hear the news, there are things happening. Everything that happens in this world is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. But sometimes we don't understand. Or sometimes nothing happens. We have expectations. Why didn't an event occur? Why didn't things go the way that we want? There are silent moments in time. Those silent moments in time can be the most challenging. How? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How does it happen that such an event occurs and there's no commotion, there is no response? A person does a terrible avera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is silent. He lets the Rasha survive. He lets the Rasha live. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation? How come he does not manifest himself? That is the silent moment. That moment, part of the mitzvah of lishmoy, the mitzvah is not to blow the shofar. If the mitzvah was to blow the shofar, then we're only focusing on the times of the year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is sensed, is felt. But what about the times of the year when HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds himself back? He withdraws. And he challenges us to have emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping score, and when he so wishes, he will reveal himself. That's the silent moment. That's the mitzvah l'shmoya kol shofar. When you listen to the shofar, you're not just listening to the sounds, you're also listening to the silent moments. Just like in the writing of a Sefer Torah, there's something called akofas gevil. It's not just enough for there to be black ink on the parchment. There must be blank parchment surrounding every single part of the letter. The sound also has to have an empty space before and an empty space after, in order that we can understand, we can mark this as being the proper sound. And that's all part of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah is to listen to the sound and to listen to the silence. When you listen to the sound, you're listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing Himself in this world, but there's also to listen to the silent moments and to yearn and anticipate greater things are yet to come. So this is just another idea I want to bring out along the same lines, is we learned yesterday that when it comes to the blowing of Shvarim, when it comes to Shvarim Teruah, there is a machlokes if the Baal Tokeah should pause between the Shvarim and the Teruah. So we discussed this yesterday, the different customs. According to the Machaber says that you should do both. That during the Tekiyas, the Yeshiva, before Shmona Esrei, the Baal Tokeah should blow B'Neshima Achas, the Shvarim Teruah should go in one shot, and during the Tekiyas, the Amida, he should break it up. The Shtei Neshimos. The Ramah says, no, everything should be done B'Shtei Neshimos, and Halacha L'Maaseh, B'Zman HaZeh, there are many different Minhagim what to do. But it comes out that, let's say, according to the Ramah, even according to the Mechaber, at some point in time during the Tekiyas Shofar, you're going to hear a Shvarim Teruah, and part of the mitzvah of Shvarim Teruah is there should be a Neshima. It's not just enough. There should be empty space between the Shvarim and the Teruah. The Baal Tokeah has to take a breath. He has to take a breath of air. He doesn't mamish take a breath of air, but it's a halachic breath of air. He blows, so some say he does. He has to actually inhale. He blows Shvarim. Part of the mitzvah is to pause. And the way you pause is you take a breath, and then you blow the Teruah. It comes out then that when you make the bracha, Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvot v'mitzvot l'shmer kol shofar, part of the mitzvah, not necessarily on the listening, I'm not going into listening, but part of the mitzvah, the blowing of the shofar, is to take a breath. And it comes out then that what are we doing when we blow shofar? It's not just he making sounds. We're making a tekiah and a shvarim and a teruah. Part of the mitzvah is to breathe. Where do you have a mitzvah in the Torah where the mitzvah is to take a breath of air? The creation of man was Vayibach Ba'apav Nishmas Chai. So all the Mefarshim tell us that's exactly what you do when you're blowing the shofar. When you're blowing the shofar, you're reenacting HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating man. Hashem blew into the nostrils of the human being Nishmas Chayim. The nostrils of a human being are equivalent to the tip of the shofar. But it's deeper than that. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the breath of life into the nostrils of man, man was a living creature. What is the definition of life? He breathes. He takes a breath. If a person, Rachman Mitzlan, is caught under a collapsed building on Shabbos, you remove the rubble until you can sense if there's breath coming out of his nostrils. So, when we blow the shofar, we're reenacting Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. When you breathe between the Shvarim and the Teruah, which is the Halacha, the Ramah says that's how it has to be. Part of the blowing of the shofar is Shvarim Teruah, and between the Shvarim and the Teruah, you have to take a breath of air. Part of the mitzvah of blowing shofar is to create a situation where you're producing sound, but in the middle of the sound you have to breathe. Take just a breath of air. You are fulfilling, you are reenacting Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, the will to live. HaKadosh Rosh Hashanah is a two-part process on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give life. Hashem wants to give life. Zachreinu l'chayim melech chofetz b'chayim.
It's only the Shvarim Teruah.
Only the Shvarim Teruah. Only the Shvarim Teruah. But the Shvarim Teruah is one of the parts. It's the Shleimus. I mean, Alvo is Masakin and Kesari. This is the way you do it.
You didn't say that in the Drash, that in the middle of the Shvarim and the Teruah, you have to have life.
You have to have what?
You have to have light.
Right, right. You have to want to live. That's the point I want to make.
Going through a period that you have shvarim, and then afterwards you're still going to have to. You're still in the middle.
In the middle of the tsar, in the middle of the ginuche, and the yalala, yalala. Very good. Within the tsar, within the tsar of the Holocaust, within you have to want to live. And very good. But the point I want to make is the Hashem. We say in the davening all along. Zochreinu l'chaim melech chofetz b'chaim. Very good. Hashem wants to give life. Who says you want to live? Who says you want to live? Rachmana Litzlan, there are so many people out there, they go into Rosh Hashanah, I'm not really interested. I'm just not interested. Let's get out of shul. This is just not, I don't want to really live. What am I living for? Life is not fun. Miserable. Part of the avodah. Hey, Dr. Fuchter. Part of the avodah of Rosh Hashanah is, you have to want to live. That's part of the avoda. Where do you find you? Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Hashem wanted to create life, and what was the response? We don't read the pasuk like this. This is a drush. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. This is a drush. Adam wanted to live. Hashem, you want to give me life? Adam did not say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, thank you. Life is miserable. I'm not interested. Hashem gave life, and yes, Vayehi HaAdam LeNefesh Chaya. Man responded positively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that there should be life by wanting to live. Wanting to live is, I breathe. I actually breathe. That's exactly what we're doing during the blowing of the shofar. We make the sounds of the shofar. These are the sounds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into man, Vayivach Ba'apav. When you breathe in between the Shvarim and the Teruah, that breath of life is our response. Yes, we want to live. That's part of the avoda. That's part of the mitzvah of shofar. That's part of the avoda siyam, to come into Rosh Hashanah with a will to live, to accomplish, even despite all of the difficulties that we find ourselves in life. So Sach HaKol, we've done over here, is we've taken over here the shofar, we've broken it down into many parts. Okay, it's not just 100 koilos. It's also, it's really 1,000, it's an addition, it's also 1,080 tarmutim. I think they call it tarmutim, short little, is that what it's called? Tarmutim? Something long, what?
Yivavos?
No, that's not yet. The yivava is the general sound, but it's broken down into tarmut or tartut, the shortest sound, the nine sounds. There are nine tarmutim. We've broken it down to 1,080 short sounds. The tkiyah shofar encompasses the big picture, shleimus, but it also encompasses the details, the pratim. Ein bichlal elamashe beprat. Don't lose that on the smallest units of time in this world. Every tekiah has silent space. It's hakof askevil. It's the hakof askevil of sound. It's not just hakof askevil in oisiyos, in sound. That is tekiah shofar, and that hakofa, that empty sound, is something which you can listen to. And that listening represents listening to moments of silence. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds himself back and is silent, does not respond to avla that's done in this world, part of the avod of tekiah shofar is to listen to those silent moments and have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the third idea is that the tekiah shofar carries within it the will to live. Because in between the shvarim and the teruah, there has to be a breath. The Baal Tekiah must breathe. And that breath captures Vayihi HaAdam LeNefesh Chaya. Okay, let's go to another idea. If you can decipher the words of the shofar, what would they be? Okay, the shofar, the sound of the shofar, tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, it's gibberish. It's Morse code. I don't even know what it looks like in Morse code, but it's some type of code. There are words that are to be found in the words of tekiah shofar. And Chazal tells us what those words are by telling us the words come from the mother of Sisra. Okay, the mother, Chazal tells us that the only thing the Torah says about Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah is a day of Yom Teruah, a day of crying. The Targum translates the word Teruah to mean a Yom Yababa, a day of Yababa. But Chazal, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Chazal did not know the translation of the Targum. Just because the Targum says the word Yababa, it was something that was unknown to them what exactly that means, until they found the pasuk in Shoftim. And Shoftim, Mr. Rapport, what parak is it? Mr. Rapport, it's the Bukhi and Shoftim. Parak Hay? In the Parak Hay? Parakeh of Sisra, Vatiyabeb Aim Sisra. Sisra was a general for Melech Yavin. He was the Sar Tzvan Yavin. He was the what? I think Aram.
No.
I think it was the general for Melech Yavin, and he went out to fight Klal Yisrael, and he told his mother he'll be back later in the day. And when he did not return for dinner, so the mother had a sense there's something is wrong. And the pasuk there used the word that the Targum has selected, Vatiyabeb Aim Sisra. The mother of Sisra cried, and her words were Madua Boshesh Richbo Lovo. Why has his chariot delayed in arriving? So it comes out that not only do we know that the word Yababa means to cry, from the context of Shaftim it means to cry, we also know what the cry is. The cry is Madua Boshesh Richbo Lovo. Why has your chariot delayed in arriving? In other words, what are we saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are we crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the call of the Shofar? Rav Sadia Gaon says also, what's taking so long for Mashiach to come? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as his roichev on the Merkava, on the chariot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Tzad Echad to be Yoyeshev al HaKisei, HaMelech HaYoyeshev al Kisei Ron Venisa, but Hashem also has a chariot, a Merkava. Hashem has two different environments in which he sits: the Kisei HaKavod and the Merkava. The Kisei HaKavod is Bzman Sheyisrael Oisim Yitzenu Shel Makayim. Hashem is established in his palace. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu travels from location to location, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brings about things in this world, he is described as being Yeshiv al Merkava. So when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu waiting for Mashiach to come, Madua Boishesh Rich Boilavai. That's what we're crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kol Shofar. Why hasn't Mashiach come? Why hasn't your chariot with the capital C? Aim Sisra said, Madua Boishesh Rich Boilavai, why hasn't my evil, wicked son, why hasn't his chariot arrived? But we borrow the words of Sisra and we apply it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the delay? In fact, the Mefarshim tell us that the Rosh Hashanah is exactly 50 days after Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the birth of Mashiach. And 50 days is the time we need to prepare. Hachana. Just like between Pesach and Shavuos, we count Sfira 50 days. 7 weeks, 7 times 7, 49 a day, 50 years Shavuos, we're now ready for Matan Torah after Yetzias Mitzrayim. From the time the Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah is exactly 50 days, because it's a 50-day Hachana process from the latest Mashiach for the Geula. So Rosh Hashanah, from all of the day calendar days, is the most Mesugul for Mashiach to come. It's the 50 days that have passed, and therefore, if Mashiach has not arrived by Kivasikin, by sunrise, we're very disappointed. And that's how we blow a shofar. We give a Kadosh Baruch a little time. Maybe there's a little bit of delay. There's gridlock. There's traffic. So we wait until Musaf. But once already comes Musaf, Hashem's late. No excuses. Madua boishesh richboi lovo. These are the words of the shofar. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea... Okay, Rosh Hashanah is truly a woman's holiday. I know I say a lot of negative things about women here, but this one is good. This one will redeem me. This one will be my redemption for Rosh Hashanah. No, I don't chashal say anything bad about women. Chashal. I just meant it's a joke. You know that. Chashal. But the truth is, Rosh Hashanah is a woman's holiday. Prove it. Well, it's very simple. It's the only holiday that falls on a Rosh Chodesh. We all are very well aware that Rosh Chodesh is a woman's holiday. Try to ask your wife to do the laundry for you on Rosh Chodesh, and she'll tell you it's Rosh Chodesh. Women are not allowed to do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. Why do women not do malacha? Why do women have a special affinity to Rosh Chodesh? Because it used to be that Rosh Chodesh was everyone's holiday, but because of the Chet HaEgel, it was taken away from the men. Women who did not participate in the Chet HaEgel, they retained the original or at least a greater degree of Kedusha in the Yantif of Rosh Chodesh. And that Yantif will restore to us when Mashiach comes, when we get a full kapara for the Chet O'Egel. So Rosh Chodesh in Shulchan Aruch is a Yantif that's Meyuchet for Nashim in reward for their refusal to participate in the Chet O'Egel.
What is the Chet O'Egel after the Rosh Chodesh?
What does Rosh Chodesh have to do with the... It was originally a holiday, so it all comes back to Hashem was Menai the Yireach. It's more. I don't have a short answer. But this is a Chazal. It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's a Shulchan Aruch. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov that's Miyuchid for Nashim.
Rosh Hashanah is based on the sunset.
Rosh Hashanah is no, it's not. Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is the only one of our holidays that falls out on Rosh Chodesh. Right? We actually say in the Musaf, Milvad Oilas HaChodesh UMinchasa. We make mention of it in the Musaf that we're supposed to bring on Rosh Hashanah, the Karban Musaf, and for Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh, it's a day that's miyuchet for Nashim. Okay, another example. Okay, we mentioned before Vatiyabeb Eim Sisra. Now many people are very disturbed with this idea that the blowing of the shofar can actually be a remez, can be rooted in the mother of an evil man. How could it be that in the Yom HaKodesh, the holy day of Rosh Hashanah, we are blowing shofar and the source of the blowing shofar comes from the mother of this Russia, Halavai, Be'ibud Rosham Rina. So some of the commentators say that the real cry is not the cry of a mother, is not the cry of the mother of Sisra. It really refers to the cry of Sora Imenu. Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sora, says that when Sora Imenu heard that Yitzchak was taken by Avram to the Akedah, and he almost died. Either she didn't hear the end of the story, that he survived, whatever the situation is. Parcha Nishmasa. Sora Imenu died as a result, as a consequence of the Akedah. Rosh Hashanah is all about the Akedah. That we know clear as day. The lady in the Kriyas HaTorah is the Akedah. The Shofar is a Zecher for the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. When Yitzchak was taken down from the Akedah and replaced with the Ayil, the horn represents Yitzchak, represents the Akedah. It's part of the Nusach of the Tefillah. We focus primarily on the Akedah. Sarah had a reaction. Had a reaction to the Akedah. Her reaction was Parcha Nishmasa. So we're only going to the mother of Sisra, but it says in the Pasuk, Yoim Tura Yelachem. The Targum translates a Yom Yababa. What is the Yababa? A Yababa is the cry of a mother. Which mother are we referring to? The cry of Sora Imenu. The only way we know that the cry, it's the cry of Sora Imenu, because it does not say anywhere beferish in the Pasuk that Sora Imenu cried. We look at another mother, the mother of Sisra, she cried, and the words the Torah uses for her cry is Vatiyabeb Eim Sisra. So now we know that the word Vatiyabe means the cry of a mother. And which mother are we referring to? Not Chas V'Shalom, the mother of Sisra. What do we care about the mother of Sisra? An evil woman, an evil child. We refer to another mother, a holy mother, our mother, Sari Mater, her cry that was related to the cry to the Akedah. So again, so what does it come out according to this interpretation? That the Shofar all comes back to a woman, Sara Imenu. Give another example. Chazal tell us that there are three Nashim were answered on Rosh Hashanah. What are they doing? What's all this noise over here? There are three Nashim were answered on Rosh Hashanah. Sarah, Rivka, and Hannah. They were answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their prayer and they conceived. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed Hashem Pakad. And in fact, this, we mention all of these three Nashim in the Kriyas HaTorah. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read about Sarah, the Hashem Pakad Esar Kasher Omar. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, we read about the birth of Rivka. The birth of Rivka, after we finished the Akedah, the Sukkim could have stopped right with the Akedah, and yet we go on another Aliyah. Why do we go on to the Aliyah? Because we want to make mention of Rivka. Rivka was born. We have an extra Aliyah, an extra section that we read, which seemingly has no connection to the day of Rosh Hashanah. The commentators tell us the reason why we read the next section is because it mentions Besuel Yoladas Rivka. We want to make mention of the birth of everyone because Rivka is critical to the day of Rosh Hashanah, because Rivka was answered. She was answered with the birth of Yaakov and Esav on Rosh Hashanah. And Chana is the Haftar of the first day. So again, we see that Rosh Hashanah all comes back to Noshim. What is the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Noshim? What is Shas? Here's the answer. The answer is, it really comes from a Levush. There's a very, very difficult section of Tzila, Berachas HaShachar. Men every morning say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Sheloi Asani Isha. What does a woman say? Shasani Kiritzainai. Or Shaloyasani Kiritzainai. Shaloyasani Kiritzainai. You don't want to.
It's not Shaloy.
Okay, I know that. I'm just joking. Shasani, why can't women say, what is this all about that women say Shasani Kiritzainai? It appears to be an insult to Noshim that men say Shaloyasani Isha. Baruch Hashem, we have more mitzvahs. Hashem have given us more nashim apodim from mitzvahs asay she'azman grama, and men are chayiv. So, but we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the additional load of mitzvahs. But nashim say, but nashim, so they can't say that. So they say she'asani kirit sinai. So the levush, the famous levush, who was one of the candidates to write a parish, he is like a shulchan aruch. The levush really wanted to write the shulchan aruch. Since already the Rav Yosef Cairo, the Shulchan Aruch, so he didn't write the Shulchan Aruch. But the Levush has a fascinating answer, and he says that it's just the opposite. Women have won over men. What does that mean? What do we mean? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create man, Hashem said, we once mentioned this idea, Nase Adam, Vayomer Elokim, Nase, let us, B'loshen Rabin, let us make man. So in Shemayim, Ribbono Shel'Olam, are you going to say Nasa Adam? Nasa is B'loshen Rabim. It sounds almost like there are other gods, and you're having a conversation with the Malachim, with other gods, and together there's a partnership, there's a corporation that's going to produce the new product called man. You're giving a pischon peh to the Apikarsim to say there's more than one God in this world. So it's, you should say, Ese Adam, I will make man. So Hashem says, you're right, I'm making trouble, I'm making it difficult for myself, but I have to teach this creature an important lesson. I have to teach him the lesson of humility. I have to show, I have to speak to the Malachim, consult, even though I don't need the Malachim, and I will create man on my own. I have to teach human being humility, that the Godol should be miyayetz with the Katan. The greater should consult with the lesser. So even though it's going to come at a great cost, it will allow a pischa in peh for the apikorsim to say there's more than one rishus. It's kedai, it's worthy to give man this pischa in peh in order to teach him the greater lesson that the human being should be humble. But built into man's DNA, in the DNA of man, is the word nasa, which means built into man's DNA, there's always a suffix. There's a pischa in peh, maybe there's more than one God. Man has to come to the conclusion, no, there's only one God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the only reason why Hashem said Nase is because humility. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create woman, Hashem said, Lo Yitoyv He Yois Adam Levado, it's not good for man to be alone. E'ese Loi Ezer Kinegdo. I alone will make for man an Ezer Kinegdo. Built into a woman's DNA is the recognition there is only one God. The avoda of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios. Ein Shnei Melochim Mishamshim Bekeser Echad. You can only have one king. The mitzis of a melech is one. It's a mitzis, it's a reality. Ain't Shnei Melochim Mishamshim Bekeser Echad. The avoda is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Malchios. Malchios through the blowing of the shofar. Who is more attuned to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, man or woman? A woman. Because built into a woman's DNA is E'eselo, Ezer Kinegdo. Built into man's DNA is Nase Adam. A woman has a greater sensitivity to the oneness, to the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected the calendar day for Rosh Hashanah and everything which goes along with it, it was connected to Nashim. Because the essence of Rosh Hashanah is the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And man doesn't hold a candle to a woman when it comes to the concept of the Yechidus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh, a day that's Meyuchad L'Nashim. The Shofar is a reminder of the call of an Isha of Sarah Imenu. The kol shofar, the tool we use, the sound that we produce, and the tool that we use is a reminder, connects us to Sarah Imenu. And on this day, Enoch Inami, all of the Nashim, it's their day in the sun, it's their day in the limelight. Because Rosh Hashanah is the day of the Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which women have, that men fail, men suffer, and men have to come to women to learn from Nashim the koyach of the Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Okay, let's just do one more vart, then we'll stop. One more important vart. Maybe one or two more very quick ideas. Okay. Okay, well, one thing is, we say in the Nusach HaTfilah that Rosh Hashanah is a Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim. Now, you have to stop and think. We say this in every single Shemona Esrei. Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim. What does Rosh Hashanah have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? So what does the word say? Bishlam of Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot. So we understand Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim. What more do you want? Shavuos, the Yitzias Hatzam and Mitzrayim. Tavnis Elohim Allah Hazeh. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was the Kabbalah of Torah. Sukkot, Adani Yakovot. But Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says that Yosef HaTzadik was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah. So what is that's also what is, so you can say this is not, it's a very interesting idea that when Yosef was released, that was the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Think about it, because Yosef was a necessary. Yosef's release from Yitzias from Mitzrayim was a necessary element in order to bring about the Gula. Yosef had to be Yosef. Yosef was being the Mishnah Melech. He set the rules. It was part of the process. It was part of the process of the Geula, even though it took place a long, long ago, 210 years ago. But it was part of the process. It was all one of the big pieces of the puzzle. A significant, his rise to power was a significant piece of the puzzle for us going down to Mitzrayim, for what he did in Mitzrayim, in order for us to be released from Mitzrayim. Okay. But on a deeper level there, I want to suggest the following drush. When Klal Yisrael, the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spit out the Egyptians onto the Yam Suf. Pyron, all the Egyptians, Kriyas Hayam, all of the Egyptians, they were drowned in the sea. The Yam came back together and drowned all of the Egyptians. And the Yam wanted very much to keep the Egyptians for itself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Yam, no, I want you to spit out the Egyptians onto the dry land, so Bnei Yisrael will see firsthand that they have perished, and they will no longer be afraid. Because if you do not spit out their dead bodies onto the dry land, Bnei Yisrael will always suspect that the Egyptians are still alive, and just like they came out on one side, the Egyptians have come out on the other side, and there's going to be a very great fear. They'll come around, they'll come and they'll attack once again. In order to put them at ease and to remind them, to show them that they're no longer alive, I want you, the Yam, to spit them out in the dry land so the Bnei Yisrael can see that they have perished. So the Yam said, no, it's not fair. This is our spoils of war. So Hashem said, do me a favor, I'll pay you ribis. There are only 600 chariots. There are only 600 chariots that have gone into the Yam. If you'll spit them out now, there'll come a time later, in the time of the Shoftim, when Sisra and his army will run away, and I'll give you 150%, I'll give you 900 chariots. I'll give you later point of time, not 600, but 900 chariots. And indeed, when Sisera fled from Devorah and Barak, they went into the Yam, and they drowned 900 chariots, drowned in the Yam. And this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's payoff to what? Into the Yam. Sisera, when he fled from Barak and Devorah, he ended up going into the Yam and 900 chariots. So it comes out that Yitzias Mitzrayim was never really over until the time of Sisera, because there was a debt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he brought them to the Yam. At the Yam, there was Kriyas Yam, so the Egyptians were drowned, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to borrow from the bank. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell the Yam, give me credit, spit them out, and I'll pay you back at a later point in time. The books of Kriyas of Yitzias Mitzrayim were never closed until the time of Sisera. When the mother of Sisera was crying, Vatiya Beib Aim Sisera, when she was crying, Madua Boyeshe Shrich Boylova, where has my son? Where was her son? He was with the fish. That's where her son was. He was with the fish. He was in the Yam. At that moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was closing the books of Kriyas Yamsuf. The debt has now been paid. When we blow shofar, we are Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, because the debt, the books were not closed for hundreds of years until this event happened. That is the greatest Mussar Haskel for us on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we think that when the year is over, the books are closed. We think all of the things that are going to be decreed for us in the following year, all the good things, and unfortunately things that are not all pleasant. There's a din v'cheshbon, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts away the din v'cheshbon for centuries until the debt is closed. When we blow the shofar, it's zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was not over for hundreds of years. There were still some loose ends. There were still some debts to collect. Every person in their life, it's an open book. The cheshbon is not over. Things that are going to happen in the coming year are payoff or closing debts for good things that have taken place years ago, maybe hundreds of years ago, that still need to be repaid. And Achman Litzlan, we have to keep cheshbon and do tshuva, that we should not come to the next year with debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if we get through a year, we may have some things that we have to pay off from previous years. That's the limud musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a din v'cheshbon for every single thing. Just like Sisera, his defeat, his destruction was the Gemara of Yetzias Mitzrayim that took place many, many years later. So to every event that happens in the year, that happened in the past year, is all a cheshbon based upon what has happened from long ago and what happens and going forward to the future as well. The year, to conclude with the bracha for the year, someone told us to me recently that the year Tov Shin Ayin Vav is Rosh Tevois, Tehei Shnas Oiz V'Hadar. Oiz the Hadar. Oiz the Hadar. What? The Gemara Daf Yomi. Oiz the Hadar. It's a pasuk in Nishlei. We learned it. Oiz the Hadar Levusha Vatischak Liyom Acharon. It's Meranes that if we're being dressed, we're being enveloped with the Oiz, the mighty, the splendor, the might, and the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's telling us that we're right in front of the footsteps of Mashiach. Vatischak liyoyim acharon. Vatischak liyoyim acharon is a remes for the Yemois HaMashiach, the time when Yitzchak turns into Yitzchak, into laughter, into simcha, extreme simcha, the simcha of the Gusah Halavai, which should be Zoycha, to Vatischak liyoyim acharon. Rabbeisai, you have here incredible zuchusim. You come, you learn every single day. What greater zuchus can a person have? And it's our bracha. It's not my bracha, it's the Torah's bracha. that the zechus of Talmud Torah, the zechus of the priority of Talmud Torah, Limud HaTorah, should accompany you into the Yom HaDin and serve as your greatest advocate and bring for you only Brocha, Hatzlocha, Yeshua, Gesund, Nachas, Yenale Hashem, Kol Mishalais Libchem, Litoiva. A good Gedench Yor, a Ksiva Chasim Litoiva, Hatzlocha Brocha.
That was said before about the stuff that goes with you about. I said that's not.